We are now starting Competitive Edge CSGO for EPL. We've got to be doing this every week for the next, month or so. As the weeks go by, as the groups change, we'll be here providing you with great advice on predictions, of course. And with the Blast Fall premiere finished, we've now seen many of the teams that are going to be in the first group at EPL. So we're going to have a little bit higher wagers today because we can make more accurate predictions with the rosters having already played. In fact, seeing some of these matchups like Na'Vi and Vitality recently. So not only have we seen the teams, but we've actually seen the teams play each other, which makes it a lot more stable to do predictions. Plus, all of these matches are going to be best of threes as well, which is nice when it comes to reducing that variance. Okay.
It's all on LAN, just in case people don't know. It is a LAN tournament.
Yeah, so good stuff all around. We do revisit last week, as we typically do.
By the way, before everyone goes in on me, because they're going to be like, you've had a bad few weeks. First of all, that tournament, the Blast Fall spring group, it's four groups, where obviously it has the three phases. You do the group stage for seeding, you do like the playing part, and then there's a last chance match even after that. If you just go and look, think of these two factors. It's only Na'Vi of the original group winners that even qualified for the tournament, guys. So that already was all over the place for BO1s. Then you saw from those playing trees, you had weird scenarios like Vitality beats G2 the first time, then has to play them again and loses. Yep. Like these are scenarios that very rarely happen in tournaments. Like I think that was genuinely one of the hardest to predict. And the other aspect, like you're talking about, is we're right out the break. When you come out the break with all those new rosters, it's so hard to know who's actually going to be good. Because as you saw, someone might be really good in their first game, then just hit a subtle skid. Meanwhile, some of the teams did the opposite. They sort of came on strong at the end, didn't they?
I mean, there were some wacky results. Like you would not have expected OG to beat FaZe and Astralis, for example.
No, not at all.
You know, Na'Vi performed once Simple actually got back into the team, but then Liquid taking out Heroic, another surprise, maybe NIP taking out Heroic, a surprise right there as well. As you say, G2 suddenly finding their legs. Like, that was interesting because you were really low on G2 at the start and high on Vitality. Have you reevaluated these teams after seeing that matchup?
No, I would still, of the two, say I think Vitality will be the better squad. I think they just actually, that was the one big letdown. Like, here's the thing. One problem they already had is, in one of their best of threes, Monty, one of their lives for the tournament, they had to play Na'Vi. I'm sorry, anyone who gets that except FaZe is already essentially supposed to lose. You don't have an extra chance. This is why I actually made the point on the last episode. I'm not a fan of this system. I'd rather essentially just remove that silly first group system, because all it does is, since it's BO1 to make the seeding, you're using the weakest point, the highest variance part, to make the seeding. And what did I predict it would make? It would make the plane like even harder groups. So I point out, you just end up in that scenario if you're someone like Vitality. Like, how is it fair that I have to play them? Meanwhile, I look over and then you're playing against like Heroic. Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, that, I think that's just kind of whack personally. So in that case, like, essentially whoever played Na'Vi was getting a free life taken from them. Like, no questions asked. Meanwhile, someone else could play in the same match, Astralis or Heroic. So I think it just meant that basically, because essentially this ties into a large pot about Counter-Strike, that I hope this tournament will actually resolve, which is once you get past FaZe and Na'Vi, and as you saw, even with FaZe, there's a little marker, which is FaZe, when it's not the big matches, is themselves not that amazing. Like, they're sort of a team that rise to the moment and are very clutch. Basically, Na'Vi is the only team that feel like a sure thing in every match they play. So outside of that, the top 10 is really loosey-goosey in Counter-Strike right now. And I wouldn't even say it's just like specific matches. It's the day. The days have an insane impact on people's form, and it's all over the place.
Well, I think we can also say that, because basically everybody gets another chance after this, because there's the showdown before the fall finals, and also we're heading into EPL. These probably events don't matter quite as much to the players, and they're going to be more experimental and probably a little less motivated right now until we get, I would say, closer to the major, right, when they want to sharpen up.
Yeah, to some degree. Most people in Counter-Strike, like, in theory, you put your effort into peak when the big events come. It's why I also said, if anything, like, that was the phase where you might have been able to catch FaZe Clan actually out, because it's early on in the tournament. As you said, they're not out of the tournament. You can lose some of these games, and it's not the biggest event. Remember, their whole thing this year, if you're FaZe Clan, is, like, get the Grand Slam, get the next major. That's your big picture thing. It's not win Blast. Like, you can win Blast, it's cool, but that's, for them, they're luckily, it's like, kind of an option. It's a luxury at this point.
Right. All right. So what we did, because remember, we could only do the first three matches at the start of the gauntlet, so this will be very quick to go through, did actually go ahead and predict Big to win. They were just good odds, basically, at 2.244, and G2 was underperforming a little bit. If we go back to a week ago,
By the way, there's another detail I didn't mention. The other thing you could never have predicted about G2 is the Monacy guy carried the whole thing. Like, before that, he was just, like, streaky and pretty good. And in fact, if you notice, I was always making the case, like, don't burden this guy with too much expectations. Like, you can't really expect him to be, like, Zebu on day one. But the point is, he was actually having an event like that. He was having a big breakout where he was straight just carrying games they probably lose otherwise.
Now, it might be a factor later on. The other two matches were we put 1,000 down onto OG because that seemed relatively safe. And then we put a flyer of 50 onto Evil Jesus because they were 9-1. And actually, it ended up being three maps. The last map was kind of close. So that was actually shockingly close to paying some dividends right there. And that was just a pure for fun one.
Brand new lineup. So like I said on that one, like, they're not playing like the greatest team in the world. Again, there's a world where maybe like the brand new team factor means you don't know how to play and they just frag out. It could have happened. The point is those were really bonkers on, so you very rarely ever get that.
Yeah, the 9-1 was crazy and actually showed that it probably shouldn't have been 9-1 by how close that series ended up becoming. Okay, so moving on to EPL. Now that we have information about these teams, you can look below me right now and see some of the odds. Thorne has picked these matches. The first four matches out of the six below are picking, basically talking about why the favorites should win, and then we might take some flyers on the last two. So we are going to see, first up, the first match that you wanted to discuss in terms of time. So the match closest to us is going to be Vitality versus NIP. Vitality is a favorite here at 1.648 and 2.1804 NIP. Now, you've already touched on the fact that you think Vitality is still going to progress with this roster. Do you think they learned anything from that last event, and they just have a few things to tighten up before they head into EPL here?
Yeah, the key thing for me is, like, one of the problems Vitality had, which was so weird with this lineup when they made it, was they never really did get, like, the second star in place, because the problem is we were all going off history. Like, history tells you it could be Dupree or Magus. They've just joined the team. I mean, Apex of the IGLC probably wouldn't have done it, but, like, people were thinking, right, this makes sense, one of those two, and it never really worked, basically. Like, Dupree's a good player, but I actually think with where he's at in his career now, he should probably be, like, your third best player in an ideal world and be a role player and be an entry. Well, the point is, listen, if your best player is Zebu, you've got your number one position locked down, and he's an AWPer, so just bring in a really good rifler. There you go, in comes Sphinx. Slam dunk, he's looked pretty good in most of the first games. So I think the best thing is they've sorted out the star players, in my opinion. That part's like set. Obviously, we'll see coaching staff and IGL how they perform. That part has to be established, but you've got the roster set, and the rest of the squad now looks like it's responding. Like, Dupree can deliver the numbers if he only needs to be your third or fourth best player. That's totally fine. And if Magus only has to be your fourth player and some sort of a supportive element, he's probably overqualified for that. Like, I think he's in someone who could be in the role where that could be his future. Maybe he's not going to be more of a numbers monster like years and years ago, because if people don't know, ever since he sort of swapped in the online era to being an IGL, he's never really been like star material anymore. He's been more of a role player in the team, because what tends to happen in Counter-Strike is when you devote yourself to being the IGL, you just see the game from an in-game leader's perspective. So star player usually has to be a bit more tunnel vision, a bit more selfish. So I think the good thing about this lineup is I think the pieces make a lot of sense on paper. The early outings were good, as I said. Let's be real, they lost to Na'Vi. That is absolutely fair. Anyone could do that. And then the other one was still a close game against G2, and as I say, the Monster guy was popping off. So I actually think this is one where maybe this is why the odds are so favorable. I think people are thinking Vitality's a lot more shaky than they are. Meanwhile, on the other side, the NIP side of the equation, NIP's a solid team. They can mix up with more squads, but there's a reason why they don't get the big placings in the end. The problem is they mix it up with you and they're probably losing three maps. So you notice I do take NIP sometimes if they're crazy odds, but in this particular case, I actually think a 1.648 is really good for the favorite. And I think if you look at this team, NIP's biggest problem is Essatag is their AWPer, and that's clearly a temporary position. You got Zebu on the other side. Like, that's already game over on that one. Then you look at it, I'm supposed to be saying for NIP, their strength is those three riflers. Tell you what, it's not like the riflers are bad in Vitality. Maybe I give a slight edge to NIP on that one, but that's not that much. And then in terms of map pool, I think Vitality's got them where they need them. So I actually think right now this is a pretty good one. I think you're not going to, in a month or two, when Vitality actually becomes like the third or fourth best team, you're not going to get these odds in a best of three at this on LAN.
So they actually did play at Blast as well. It was just a best of one. It was on Inferno. It was a 16-12 win for Vitality. Do you think that NIP is going to have a better read on them after playing that, because there's two kind of philosophies here. One of which could be like, oh, well, Vitality was new, so perhaps they underperformed in their first like official matches with this new roster, and now they're going to have better synergy on the rematch. Or was NIP underprepared for Vitality because they had no footage to watch and prepare for? They had really nothing in order to plan strategies around. So can they come back and out-strategize Vitality now that they've actually had a look at the new roster?
I do actually think an underrated element for NIP is their coach, actually. This guy, DGL, who used to work with teams like Contact and stuff in the past. He actually did, I think maybe even Mad Lions at some point, or Envy, one of the two. Basically, he actually does seem like he did have a lot of impact on NIP this year. They do seem like they may be a little bit better in that regard. The problem, I think, is like the angles I've listed for Vitality, I don't think you can't overcome them much with the coach. That's essentially, like, you can't make your AWPer better because you did watch the demo. You can't make the map pool better because you know what they're going to play, you know. And also, the other thing you always have to remember in Counter-Strike is, it's different if I'm talking later about, say, Spirit, Fnatic. I don't know where these guys are in the like status of the meta of scrims. Vitality and NIP almost certainly probably do scrim together. Like, I'd imagine they probably have played a bunch of games, because again, you have to scrim someone and these are all in the same region. So I'd imagine these teams probably have some familiarity. The key thing for me is just, I think the setup and the structure of the two teams, main Vitality, is just they've got a better roster right now.
All right. So you seem really confident about this, and if that's the case, the almost 1.65 odds are extremely good. So we're trying to go bigger, guys. 3,000 USDT, that'll be 5,000 back. So a really nice return if we go ahead and see Vitality take that in the first part of EPL. Returning
to Vitality. Also noticed as well, because here's the thing, I also have to update people on the strategy. I understand what went wrong now, guys. I know you're all thinking, I'll just out there. No, what happened is this. When we were on that streak of getting loads of them right, Kozak was getting so many underdogs, mainly because at the time, stuff like XL and League of Legends was mispriced, and some of these squads that people underrated certain teams I thought were better in CS. Because I had a good read on specific underdogs, I actually think I got way too addicted to trying to pick underdogs. You'll notice on the past ones, I'm always looking for, like, that's 2.4. But what I was missing was this. When you actually do think that one team wins like 65% of the time and they have like 1.5 odds, just take the win. You got to have some wins. Like, you can't always be hoping for the underdog.
That's why I put 10,000 on, if you're a fan of League of Legends, why I put 10,000 on Gen G to win the finals versus T1, because the odds were like 1.5, and I thought there was probably like a 75% chance that Gen G was going to win that final. In fact, they 3-0'd it, stomped them. It wasn't even close. It was actually less close than I thought it would be. And I was pretty,
I think
pretty
I was
bullish.
I was talking myself into too many underdogs, I think. So what I've done here is I've taken what I think are the clear favorites that should win, and then I've shaded in afterwards a couple of ones if you want to go crazy.
If you are really high on Vitality, and you seem to be, it does seem that they are getting underrated a bit in this odds, and you can see that in the next one as well, where they're almost at 1.5 to 2.8 for Fnatic. And this is a Fnatic roster that really, on paper, should not be very competitive with Vitality. Is that right?
Yes. The problem with the Fnatic roster is this. It's just been so long since people heard about Fnatic. They've done nothing for months and months and months. People, I think, are just excited to see them play again. They have some players that are good, like Crims is still a competent player. The Mezzi guy, by the way, has actually been good the whole time. It's just his problem is he was stuck with Alex in that weird career package, and then they've had all these teams that did and didn't work, depending on what time period. So the actual lineup's not terrible, but I will say this. There's not a lot of, like, big-name power in that team. Like, actually, Crims and Mezzi probably are the best players on paper. Some of the others are, like, newer players that still haven't really done much. Or, like, the Nikodos guy was, like, okay when he was incorporating Flames, even then he wasn't some like monster. And I think Roy's like a good piece, but for me, in a good team, he's supposed to be like a role player. Like, he was actually the best player, like, if people don't know, incorporating Flames.
Like, you know, from watching Roy, he's a player who actually does step up in big games, but he's more of the assistant, supportive, like, firepower player. Like, he can step up, but it's not going to be to like superstar levels. He just exceeds your expectations, perhaps. but I don't think anybody has huge expectations.
Very much like a workman, like player. Would call him essentially, he's a journeyman, is what you say. European spots. The problem they have essentially with Fnatic is this: it's not like it's a bad set of players. It's just they haven't played enough, and definitely haven't played the lands for us to know they're like a known quantity. They're good in this way, and they are again. They're going against Vitality. So, for example, you look again at the AWP position. They have nothing to compare with the AWP of fucking Zwoo. Was an unbelievable player. If you look at who is the best player in the server, it's going to be Zwoo. If it's not Zwoo, it's going to be Spinx. So you're going to have the best player as well. The star power in general is heavily on the Vitality side. So I think the Fnatic team, look, maybe in like a month or so, maybe they shape up as some sort of interesting dark horse. And I think they're too much of an unknown quantity right now. Whereas actually, anything you say against Vitality, I can't like spin that, and I've got that positive on the side of Fnatic. So I think Vitality wins this one too. And I thought those odds, I'm not like certain they're not like Na'Vi, but 1.423 is still pretty good for a favorite.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think I'm a little hesitant on this just because God only knows what Fnatic looks like at the current time. So sight unseen, it's a little bit more risky. Plus the returns, Max. The returns are not quite as good on this one. So we'll put 2,000 USDT on Vitality for this matchup over Fnatic. Just hedge it a little bit there. Okay, so now we're going to flip over to talking about Na'Vi, and there's another Vitality match. This one has already happened. This is a matchup that happened at Blast when it was in the finals of the play-in stage. It was Na'Vi 2-0 over Vitality, 16-10, 16-13 on Inferno and Mirage. So, you know, relatively close for a 2-0, but I would say damning that Vitality was losing on their own map.
Yeah, and that's also one of the reasons why I heavily favor the Na'Vi side of this equation. I mean, you might think, you've just done two predictions for Vitality. Yeah, one, I did also say in the earlier episode, there's only one team in the world right now you don't want to play, and that's Na'Vi. Like, they can just basically, I mean, the joke was even with the head trick guy, they were winning for fuck's sake. Like, that's it. So you put the best player in the world back in, they're pretty unbeatable. So, and I genuinely think, by the way, the narrative of this year is so off. Like, all the fans hate on Na'Vi and act like, you know, they failed or something was good enough. It's like, mate, the joke is the FaZe Clan. It's like, they're only at their best in the big clutch game, though. Like, they're not actually on. If this was like a random day of the week, I think Na'Vi could beat them. But it's just in those particular cases. So outside of that, Na'Vi are the fucking dons. They are the guys who run the scene right now. Because the key thing is, in every game, they just get way too much firepower into the server, mate. And if you do that, I'm sorry, I know it sucks because I've spent my whole career telling people, Counter-Strike's not a game about shooting people in the head. It's tactics. Yeah, but it's the same thing in soccer if people don't know. It's like, there's a line like that about Ronaldo, right? When people try to criticize Cristiano Ronaldo, they go, all he does is score goals. It's like, that is literally the win condition of football. If you can do that consistently, you might be the greatest player. And they're like, no, but what about his passing? It's like, no, you've missed the point again. If I just score three goals and you do all the best passes of possession and you score two, I win. So like, that actually is the opposite. So similarly in Counter-Strike, like, if you can just shoot everyone in the head and outshoot people, you're going to win a lot of games. It's not like they're a bad team. They also have a brilliant coach who's got a whole structure in place. So when they play Vitality themselves, when they play Na'Vi, are still a little bit too fresh. In the future, they do have the lineup that looks like they can mix it up with them. By the way, interestingly, Zeebo usually performs versus Na'Vi. He tends to actually, I don't know if it's the rivalry or simple, but he tends to bring the best out of him. So I think they've got the pieces too, but I think for right now, they're still so fresh. And as you said, they've already got sort of the mark in their mind. They lost the last time. That also implies something, by the way, which is good luck picking maps like that into Na'Vi. If your map pool isn't super duper deep, they've got one of the best map pools in the world. So if you want to beat them, you normally have to be a team that's going to try and gamble and go into like the Ancients of the World, the Overpasses. That ain't Vitality right now. As you see, they're actually going into the wheelhouse of Na'Vi. So to me, everything plays to the Na'Vi side. And by the way, this is how you know Vitality at least is good. Because when are you ever going to get 1.503 for Na'Vi to win a best of three LAN series? Like, we'll take that all day long, mate. All day long.
I wonder how much of these odds were colored by some of the upset, like the upset win that happened from Complexity in Blast, because they, you know, they did struggle at the start of that event.
That was good, and when they didn't have Simple, though.
Yeah. And it was only when we saw, not, you know, Simple came back in the next week, and the one match he played was the 2-0 over Vitality. So that's going to be a rematch like a week later, right? And so I would say, like, You feel generally pretty good about this. So
I'll throw in one other reason. Another reason it might not be as crazy on this one for the odds is because bizarrely, in a lot of the past of this exact format of Pro League, it's actually been the tournament where sometimes Na'Vi can be a bit dodgy in the group stage because you sort of just play like the five best of threes or whatever, and you like play and it's round robin, so you can get into trouble if you take the first two too easy and you mess them up, etc. But I don't think that's going to happen this time around. I think that was a different set of teams last time. So this one, I'm pretty confident that Na'Vi's going to win.
Seems reasonable. All right, let's do it. 3,000 USDT onto Na'Vi for this one, bringing up our total stake so far to 8K. We'll get to 10K throughout all of this, most likely. And as the second Na'Vi one, you are going to get some other good odds here when we talk about them versus NIP.
Yeah, the key thing here is, look, I can't get your 1.5 odds for Na'Vi very often, obviously. So 1.352 for Na'Vi is actually really good. Like, look at the rest of the odds. Correct. Everyone else they're playing, you can basically get almost no return. Like, they're just telling you, like, a whatever odds you want in the whole world for the opponent, please give me free money by betting against Na'Vi. Like, spoiler, esports bets telling you that no one's going to beat them. So this is about the closest you get for a team that, as I say, is expected to win all the matches they play. So the main thing here is, if you just look at the team structure and style again, I think you've got a very, very good matchup for Na'Vi. Because, again, Nip is having issues at the AWP position. There are zero issues at the AWP position for Na'Vi. In fact, their joke is, if they have, like, bit second AWP, he's probably better than Esatag. It's not even hating. So they've got that position nailed. They have insane firepower anyway. Everyone often points out that the other thing Nip lacks is a true in-game leader. Their in-game leader is one where he's quite good individually as a player, but as an IGL, maybe like lacks a little bit. Na'Vi's switched to electronic. It doesn't look that was a problem at all. They look great still. The whole system works. The blade approach seems to be properly drilled into the players. They make really good decisions as a group. So I also think this is the other thing that's a good angle is, I think actually as a team, they're very well set up to actually withstand like Nip's best aspects in their rifling, etc. And then the thing is this, I do think Nip, this is the reason why the odds are actually lower for Na'Vi. I do think Nip actually, to some degree, can at least play the maps that can give Na'Vi trouble. Like, famously, Nip actually is a pretty good overpass team. That is a map they can win on. The problem with that is, again, you have to realize when you get to the kind of stratosphere Na'Vi is in, when I say, like, you need to beat them on overpass, I mean, like, that's where you got a chance. Like, they're probably still going to win that game. And if they don't, it's going to be three maps and they're going to win anyway. So, you have a chance. Here's the thing, Nip has a chance, but I think even on that map, you can't be certain they'll win. So I've got to take the Na'Vi side for this one.
Okay. And you don't read into anything such as that, like, NIP. I mean, I guess they didn't do super great. They beat Heroic. Does that give you any faith in them at all?
No, because if you notice, I was super out on Heroic. I bet I'm big against them. I was really out. Like, here's the sad thing. I was right. It's just that the end was when they failed everyone. Like, bloody hell. So sadly, I didn't get any other games against Heroic just because of as you say, we did the first three bets. So I'm really out on Heroic as a team generally at the moment.
All right. We'll do another 3,000 here for Na'Vi over NIP. Now we're going to get into the weeds here with some of the perhaps less easy to predict matches, or ones that you might want to take an underdog on because of the odds. Starting up, it's NIP.
It depends how much excitement you want in your life, essentially, these two.
What kind of roller coaster do you want to go on? NIP.
I've got an interested one and an absolutely lunatic one. So you do what order you want to do it in.
All right. We'll do NIP Spirit first. So Spirit is a team that did make top four at the major, but didn't do super well at IEM Cologne. I think you could make an argument that at the major, some teams like Gambit/Cloud9 that were, you know, in their region kind of massively underperformed. And there were some.
They also used to have Dexter, remember?
That's true. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
OG.
Yep. So some really interesting shifts over there. Is Spirits a legitimate roster, or should we be taking the almost 1-6 odds on NIP here?
That's why I'm saying I'm going to get a little bit crazy here. Obviously, if I had to actually pick the overall winner, yeah, probably Nip wins it. They probably should. Because crucially, no one really knows actually how Spirit's going to play. IEM Cologne was the last tournament they played. It was before the play break. They haven't played anything since then. So in that sense, they're a total black box. They haven't even been playing online tournaments. It's not like I've seen them in an online cop. They weren't part of these RMRs because they're obviously even further on stage. So we haven't had to see them. Like, the Fnatic's of the world, you could at least go watch them play in the RMRs and get a sense against, like, sure, random opposition almost. But you get a sense with the eye test of what they are. So essentially, no one can really know how good Spirit are. We're almost just saying, throw the players in there. What will they do in their first game? Now, here's the angle as to why I actually think it might not be the worst idea to take a flyer. Because first of all, an interesting detail was, I actually thought Spirit would be dead at Cologne because they'd lost Dexter. I was like, mate, that guy was carrying, and he's the AWPer. But the player they brought in, Wonderful or whatever his name is, the, like, Ukrainian guy to replace him, was not bad. He wasn't bad, actually. I could see where they picked him up. They clearly must have done some scouting. He looks like he can fit the role. So in that sense, actually, he also is probably a better AWPer than Esatag. Like, Esatag is a veteran player, but this is the reason why everyone points it out.
You're just like, NIP is going to get shit on by everybody. And they have the worst AWPer in this group.
I mean, it's mainly when you have a good AWPer, but essentially, it's been a condition of theirs. Essentially, that's why people actually respect it, that they're able to overcome these, in theory, glaring flaws and otherwise match up. And it doesn't seem like it kills their mentality, but these things are there for a reason in the game, in the scouting report, and these are the things you look for. So I'd even say on that one, it's not like the Wonderful guy has to, like, outperform him. It's just not going to be under pressure. It's just going to be like a normal day at the office. So he has a chance himself to pop off. Then I also think, if we're going to give credit to all these riflers on Nip who are good players and definitely land proven. I actually think if you look now, I don't know where they found him, but the Patsy guy who came in the, last year, and now everyone's been looking like, who is this guy? Where did he come from? He's a legit player, mate. He frags out. So I also think, actually, in terms of raw firepower, it's not some mismatch that people imagine because it's established names on NIP. And then, as I say, to me, the fact that you can't know how they're going to play, and actually, I don't know if these two teams do practice. These might be some that never face each other, because if you don't know, Nordics especially, they care about the ping, so they might not want to play on bad ping. And spoiler, Spirit would probably have a ping disadvantage if they scrim them, probably like twice as much, so I don't think you'd even get that much out of those games. So I feel like this is just one where, if you're NIP, let's be real, you're worrying about Na'Vi and Vitality, and let's take care of Fnatic, and let's not slip up. Like, this is actually one of the lower teams on your thing. In theory, this is one of the ones where you're hoping it's a gimme, but I think it's a little bit more tricky. So when you consider the odds of your Spirit is 2.29, I wouldn't like say they're going to win, but I think a flyer's not necessarily out of order for this one. I think it's a team that could fall.
All right, sight unseen, Spirit. We'll just put 500 on this one. We don't really want to commit. And last odds that we are going to talk about for this first group in the first week of EPL is going to be the ultimate flyer. NIP.
This is intentionally psychotic. Yes. Like, I'm into, because the key thing is, one, as you'll notice, in this particular group, I'm not really feeling NIP. Like, I feel like they're actually, it's not the best set of teams for them. I think there's plenty of angles you can go with.
You lose, like, every matchup in this group. You have them 0-3 so far in your predictions. So, are you about to make it?
No, 0-4? Because these two I'm picking on paper, they're supposed to win, aren't they? Like, I'm saying the odds make sense to potentially do a flyer. Yeah. So this is the most ridiculous one. But also, it's because the odds are that high. Like, Fnatic is 3.371. Remember, as I said, we don't really know much about them aside from a bunch of online RMR games. And then, yeah, the roster isn't that great. It's not like NIP's got the best roster in the world. Like, I think there's a world where, first of all, I think the Fnatic players, there'll be no, like, intimidation factor. There aren't names that you're scared of. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm playing against them. No, these players are all fine in that sense. So in my opinion, it just becomes a normal game. And I actually think the fact that Fnatic is such an unknown quantity, it's actually going to be that's actually where having great coaching stuff doesn't always help. There's nothing to research, or if you do, you haven't seen them against your level of competition. Maybe they look really awesome on something you've beat, or that turns out actually you could have beat them on that map. That's where it gets tricky. So I just think with the odds that high, this is where you maybe do like the cheeky small one, and then if it just comes in, it comes in. But it is the most ridiculous of all the ones I'm picking.
All right, I'm putting 250 on this thing.
Yeah, just make it smaller.
I'm putting 250. The lowest amount, the ultimate Fnatic flyer. Do you want to put a parlay on some of your favorites here? Like, are you, pick three matches you're the most confident in terms of results, and we'll do a parlay.
I mean, I would probably do the two Na'Vi and then Vitality NIP.
Okay.
Because I'm very confident in Na'Vi, and I think just Vitality has the better matchup on NIP. I think they'll win that one.
Okay, so we'll take Na'Vi over NIP. And we will take Na'Vi over Vitality. And we will take Vitality over NIP.
What's the parlay for that turn into?
3.348. So not too bad. Put 1,000 on that. Be very good if all these things come true.
Yeah.
It'll be a very big week. So put a lot down. This week for you guys should be fun. Some of these will come through for sure.
That's the fuck NIP episode of Competitive Edge.
The fuck NIP.
On some level it is.
Whatever the opposite of NIP magic is.
Listen,
that's
guys.
That's going to happen in EPL.
I don't want anyone thinking that because when I did that watch party, I did bet on NIP and they lost, that I'm salty or young.
They just let you down. They showed you the truth and why you should predict against them. It's really their own fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, guys, we'll be doing these Competitive Edge episodes over the next few weeks for the rest of EPL. So tune in weekly and we'll keep on seeing you then.